Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Shabbat's Black Experience Enhanced this evening. The air date of this episode is January 3rd, 2023. What should be our agenda for 2023? We are reaching out to those concerned individuals who are interested in putting together positive projects for our advancement as a people. We need businesses and industries that will give ourselves full employment, empowerment, and economical independence. It has been proven time and time again that integration does not work. We've tried it, and we still get kicked in the ass time and time again. The black-ass sellout politicians sell us down the toilet every election cycle. What can we as people do about this? Please call in with your comments, questions, and concerns at area code 516-418-5996. This episode is for those 18 years of age and over. And I'm your host, Shabaka St. Curry. We have the anchorman, General Ramel, with us, who will be reading an opening statement. We also, too, have our co-producer, the one and only Brother Che. Okay, Brother Che, then Brother Ramel. Good evening, gentlemen.
Peace, gentlemen. How are you doing today? My name is Ramel, understanding angel of peace from the East, understanding and understood in every one of you, bringing the hope without the door, official frontline campaign. Salute to the fallen soldiers. I start off with the frontline campaign, Black Panther Party Faction Program Manifesto. Our mission is to educate, elevate our people politically, economically, and culturally. Our people are all the diaspora blacks, specifically those who are indigenous to the planet Earth since its very inception. Our mission is to free our people's minds and arm them with the proper social tools to construct a civilization of their own. This civilization must be based on truth and unity. We must use all the methods and means which have brought success to all civilizations prior to our time of existence. We will make no exceptions for foolishness and ignorance. We have excluded, banned, and rejected any means of slavery and manipulation. Our duty is to honor and serve our people with dignity. We are servants of the people, and we take our service very seriously. We fully understand how critical the task is to resurrect our people out of a total state of misery, poverty, and chaos. Our main priority is the condition of our people and the rebuilding of our communities. We seek to construct our own form of utopia in our own heaven on earth. We accept and advocate a natural way of life based on freedom, justice, and equality. We understand that the family unit of man, woman, and child is the nucleus and the focal point of any civilization. We must destroy mistruths, half-truths, and flat-out lies. Our only weapon is our mind, and the principles of truth are our bullets and ammunition. We have decided that in order to gain social power and to enter the social stratum of power, we must use all the political means that are available. We will never compromise our integrity nor our mission. Peace. My name is Romello Sanders.
Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you there, General, so very, very much, man, for that input. Now, also, too, folks, I got a quote here from the former president of France by the name of Jacques René Chirac, and he's the former president of France, and I believe he was the president in the mid-70s to early 80s. And here's a quote from him. We bleed Africa for 4.5 centuries. We looted their raw materials. Then we're told lies that the Africans are no good for nothing. In the name of religion, we destroyed their culture. And after being made rich at their expense, we now steal their brains through miseducation and propaganda to prevent them from enacting black retribution against us. Okay, you see, this is a common tactic right here, ladies and gentlemen, you know, that they've been using on us again and again and again and again. Now, here in 2023, okay, you know, what should we do to promote businesses and industries in our community that will give ourselves full employment, full empowerment, and economical independence, okay? It's because, first of all, we have to start controlling, you know, the educational centers, you know, that the society sends our children to. In addition to, you know, we have to develop, you know, more businesses, you know, with the science, the technology, mathematics, and what have you. And then even those who are in other businesses, you know, that might be along the line of entertainment or what have you, they can invest in said businesses. This is just a theory. And then when we look at our youth coming up, more and more self-destructive, more and more confused, more and more of lacking knowledge of themselves. You see, you also have to look at this on a spiritual plane as well, too, is because there's a definite connection between mind, body, and spirit. Okay.
Word
also, spot. Too. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And then also, too, we have to get the black family unit back re-intact, you see, it's because in some of the African societies, you know, the man would have more than one wife. But this here was strengthening the nation. It's because all across the net, you know, I've seen various comments, you know, about what they call polygamy, this, that, there, the other. But it was quite common, you know, on the ancestral land. And then, too, we also do have to recognize the fact and put it out there, you know, on blast, is that these Greeks pretty much didn't give us anything. They came and stole knowledge from Kemet that they called Egypt and start reclaiming this knowledge as their own. But look at their culture. Look at the whole culture of Europe. You see what I'm saying? You know, before, you know, the Moors have got there, we taught them how to bathe, you see? And then on top of it, too, look at the bubonic plague, which had wiped out half of Europe, I believe, in the 1400s, okay, and due to the infestation of rats. You see what I mean? But, however, you know, when we mention such things, you know, we get our hate mail and what have you, and then we appreciate all those who contributed this platform. And once again, our episodes are dedicated to the one and only Mad Dr. D. May he rest in power, because without Mad Dr. D, this platform would not be possible. Okay, gentlemen, come in here and drop some gems.
Yeah, so good evening. Thank you all for tuning in to the first episode of Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced of 2023. I am the co-producer and co-host, Chain Kruma, a.k.a. Jesse Paris, next mayor of Denver 2023, the only candidate with a black first agenda. And if you ask me, that needs to be our agenda in this new year, black first. Black people need to be prioritized in the city, in the state, and in this country, and ultimately worldwide. Everybody in the diaspora needs to be prioritized as well. We are in a state of emergency, black family, and we have been for a long, long time. And it's enough is enough of this. So I have put my hat in the ring. I filed to run for mayor of Denver, Colorado, in April of last year, and the election is April 4th, 2023. So if you want to support the campaign, please go to www.jessedenvermayor.com in support of real black grassroots candidates. I am funded by the people, literally our people. I am not accepting contributions from corporations. I am not accepting contributions from the opposition. I am strictly going to be funded by black people. And that is my priority, that is my agenda, and that has been my priority and my agenda since before I even ran for city council at large in 2019. So I have a proven track record of looking out for our people, especially our less fortunate, our unhoused neighbors, and our seniors in the city. So if you want to get behind any politician, make sure that they have a black first agenda. Make sure they have tangible specifically for black people in whatever city, state, district, whatever they're running in. Make sure that they're prioritizing us, because we've been on the back burner for too long, and we've been allowing these sellout politicians to sell us down the river, and that's because we're not funding the campaigns. But you know who is funding the campaigns? Corporations, the opposition,
right.
OTBs. The police,
yes, sir.
You name it, they're funding their campaigns. So, if
other
we want,
than us,
as Dr. Clyde Anderson stated, if we want to control the politics in that area, we must first practice group economics. We must use that money from the group economics that we practice, the Ujima and the Ujamaa from Kwanzaa. If we apply those principles 365 days a year, we would be better off as a people. So we have $1.4 trillion in spending power. There is no reason why we can't rent or buy a politician to serve our best interests and put us as a priority in policy, in governance, and all of the above. I have to go in 15 minutes, so I just wanted to let the viewers know that my campaign is in full effect. There's still another 4 months left of it. Except the election is April 4th. We have like 25 people running for 26 people actually now running for Denver mayor, and I'm the only black first candidate in the race.
Word is strong.
Yes, sir. Okay, too, Brother Paris, Mr. Mayor, we got a caller here from area code 720 with the last 48172. What's your name and where you're calling from? And welcome.
It's Lady J, a.k.a. Seduction Doll, Brandy Majors. Part two of Team Paris, calling in real quick. Excuse me. How you doing, Brother Shibaka?
Okay.
I'm calling in for a quick minute because I'm really, really sick. If you can hear it in my voice. I'm just kind of had to get off the machine real quick. Chime in for the new year. First episode of the brand new year. I wanted to celebrate it with the family and go ahead and speak a little bit on what I think the new agenda is or what the agenda should be. Sadly, I think that this is a black year. I think that we should be very encouraged to let the shade deflect the message, but let's be very encouraged to be black first all year, to be black unified, everything from black joy, black pain, black everything, just black, biggity black all year long. I also think that we need to be empowered. We are the empowerment. We are the power.
Right.
And whether we want to feel it or not, we need to just accept it that we are the power and stop worrying about what other people are going to let us do or not do. Power is taken, and we have to just start taking our of what we want, how we feel, our way in the world, because if we wait and keep asking and asking and asking, they're going to keep denying us and dragging us and terrorizing us, killing us, putting us on the back burner, denying what is rightfully owed, just amongst other things, you know. And we're seeing it in, you know, not to take away from other states that are quite important, but we're seeing it here in the city of Denver and any other sanctuary city or any other city that offers refuge to those that come on in. Look, check it out. There's nothing wrong. You know, as long as I've ever been alive, they said the United States was a place where immigrants could come and make their way, whatever. Okay, but at some point, enough is enough. You know, and if you didn't sign, you didn't do your paperwork, and you can't wait. You know, a lot of these countries aren't in aren't war zone countries, not like Haiti. You know, like let's talk about that. Like I'm really bothered about this Haiti thing. You know, and I've been bothered by it. I've been bothered by any country that has been black and has been told to go back. You know what I mean?
Right.
They don't penalize these white Europeans that sneak on over here. They don't penalize anything else, but they're so quick to give up our funding to our money, and when I say our, I'm generalizing and really meaning foundational black American money to other countries, you know, and that is really a travesty in itself. Whereas I feel like black family, hear me clearly. I feel like we need to really, if it doesn't take a lot of us, it only takes a few of us to be very vocal and very powerful in saying enough is enough and this money stays in the United States. Enough trying to take care of other countries where we can't provide for our citizens that live in the United States as it is, our residents, our born citizens, are people that have been here, that have been born and bred in every state, that is situationally unhoused. I don't even want to use any broad, ambiguous terms. You just know what I mean, family. And I feel like if we can just get about 10 people, 15, 20 people, strong voices that can sit up there and say, no, enough is enough. This money don't need to go nowhere else. We don't need to take care of other countries. We need to take care of our people first. And then and only then, if we feel like it, maybe we'll help you. Until then, hold your own goddamn nuts. You know, you've been doing it this whole time. Why can't you do it now? And this indigenous Amber Alert shit, where's the black Amber Alert? That's all I want to say. That's all I'm going to say. Black people, there's a time and a place in 2023. It's going to be the black year. If you're not with it, get the fuck out the way. Because this is the time where black women, black children, and some black men are coming up missing every goddamn year. And nobody looks for them.
Right. Mr. Melanin.
For right now. Much love, brother. Black power, black power, black power.
Always, always, always. And then on top of it, too, is the melanin is that they're going after. It's because, you know, like I said, when we look at the history right here, how they stole, a lot of our inventions, a lot of our methods of technology and science and what have you. And then, of course, as we do know, is that on a plantation system, is that any time that a slave had any type of ingenuity or any type of skills or any type of inventions that he made, it automatically became the property of the slave master. You know, that's what you got proprietary rights about. That's what they got the patent office about and things of this nature right here. And then on top of it as well, too, you know, I'm challenging all these mainstream black politicians, okay, because from what I understand, they having a huge debate or a huge vote going on about who's going to be the Speaker of the House. And from what I understand, that there is a politician by the name of McCarthy who is out of Kern County, California. And Kern County is perhaps one of the most conservative counties in the state of California. And the Democrats or the quote-unquote liberals, you would mainly find them in the Los Angeles area, some in the Sacramento area, and, of course, you know, in the San Francisco, Oakland Bay area. But the majority of the state, yeah, pretty much, you know, are conservatives, because when you look at California, California will elect a Republican governor and elect a Democratic lieutenant governor. Then it will turn around in the next election and do the exact opposite. Okay, so what does that tell you right there? Also, too, just want to bring out new laws for 2023. From what I understand, in the state of California, you own a firearm, and if somebody gets shot by your firearm, they can sue you for it and sue the gun maker for it. Okay, and then they got some other stuff that's going on that, you know, I'm going to pull up here, you know, later on, you know, in the podcast. And then also, too, what we also have to focus on is infrastructures. Okay, what's that? That's lights. Okay, that's water. Okay, that there is the food chain. That's agricultural things that we need. We should be controlling our own food production. We should be controlling our own food preparation plants. We should be controlling our own land, you know, because you got to have the farmland. And then also, too, we got to do something to countermand the effects of these GMOs. So, you know, we need some of our scholars to come up with methods to countermand that or to prevent it, you know, if it is possible. You see, it's because, you know, the way how this place is going, like the Temptation said over 50 years ago, it is a ball of confusion, mass confusion right now. And then, of course, you know, they got these alternative agendas that they're trying to push out on us. And also, too, I want to give a word of encouragement to the family of Mr. Damar Hamlin, if I'm saying his name right, the football player there who was injured last night with the Buffalo Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals, where he had collapsed on the field after a tackle. And from what I understand, you know, is that he is in intensive care. So quite natural, of course, you know, we wish the best, you know, for the young man as well, too. Now, turning it over to sports, the sports industry a little bit, is because we produce the wealth for it. Okay, we have great talents and have always have had great talents, you know, in pro sports. But now, black families, the time has come to where we have to control that industry as well, too. Now, there's a lot or common phrases being, okay, well, you know, that's the NFL. It's the granddaddy of them all. What other leagues can you do? And I'm, you know, stating here on the air that the retired black players, the Hall of Famers and what have you, through venture capital, black economical and venture capital and banking firms, you know, start forming our own league. And I do believe that with the talent that we have, that we have always produced, is because, you know, everybody likes the human drama of athletic competition. We could form our own leagues, and I believe that we could pull the market away from the NBA and the NFL to enhance our people as well, too. I mean, in general manager positions, administrative posts, members of the team as well, too. Getting sponsors and whatnot for, you know, promoting black owned products and what have you. You see? And then we got the, you know, come about a disillusion of inclusion. It's because it's setting us back, way back. You see, way back.
Yes, sir.
And, yeah, and then also, too, the state of Missouri had executed a transgender female for murder. And from what I understand in that state there, if the jury's deadlocked on the penalty phase of it, then the judge, you know, can enact his own penalty, and they enacted the death penalty on this individual, and this individual was executed earlier today in the state of Missouri. Okay, so the more reason that we got to set up, you know, our own judicial systems as well, too. You see, we got to have our own land. You know, we got to have our own areas that we can call our own. We got to reach out to the diaspora as well. We've got to have the unity in the diaspora. It's because, keep in mind, all here in the Western Hemisphere, whether it's been Haiti, Cuba, Brazil, the United States, parts of Mexico around Veracruz and what have you, you know, they were made wealthy off of black suffering, black labor, and black humiliation, and black degradation, you see. And then also, too, that industry out there in Los Angeles, Hollywood, you see. And keep in mind, you know, they got a lot of money out there, and they do a lot of moving and shaking as well. So we got to develop methods, you know, some of those brothers who are established out there could pool their resources and start making, you know, positive films about us in the family unit, about our history, about where we can go, you see. And then the cold part about it is that, you know, save all of humanity, you know, in the short run on that, you know. Okay, comments on that there, Brother Jack.
Everything you're saying is accurate and needs to be implemented. I only have 4 minutes left, so all I can leave us with, because I don't know if I'm going to be able to get back on, but it's up to us. Ain't nobody going to do this but us. It's up to the generations currently and the generations after us to do this. Nobody else is going to do this. So, yeah,
yes,
sports players are black. I agree with you.
Yes,
they should honestly boycott the playoffs, the NFL playoffs, and the NBA playoffs. Clear message to white America that enough is enough.
Yes, sir, absolutely. You know, without a doubt, you know.
Stop supporting these Sambo Rambo Negroes and Negrettes that are seeking our vote. If they have not publicly stated that they're going to do anything specifically for black people, they don't deserve our support.
You're right.
Stacey Abrams had to find out the hard way because she refused to acknowledge us. And then at the last minute, she wanted to change her website to talk about tangibles. And by then, it was too late because she had this all-inclusive agenda. That all-inclusive shit is not working for us, black family. That go-along and get-along shit is not working. We need to be prioritized, period. We need our damn reparations, and we need to separate.
Yes, sir. And so then keep in mind that this is and keep in mind this isn't hatred, you know, or racism, as they like to label our platform as. This is just simply economical sense. You see what I mean? It's because other ethnicities that came to the United States, you know, they built up their communities, they did for themselves, they put their own people to work. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being self-sufficient. But, you know, what is our problem? You see what I'm saying? And then, of course, we do know the problem is, you know, is the Maafa, the disaster so bad is beyond description. You know what I mean? And the great student, Dr. Marimba Ani, who was that of John Henry Clark, you know what I mean? You know, she brought that to the light, you see? And then on top of it as well, too, is that when every other crew does this, you know, they're being praised, you know, by mainstream society. You know what I mean? They're being upheld. Hey, great thing. Pull yourself up by the bootstraps. But when we do it for ourselves, you know, then we become subjugated to being ostracized, all type of ridicule and what have you. But that's what it is, ladies and gentlemen. Please give us a call here at 516-418-5996, which should be our agenda for 2023. And then on top of that, as we know, time and time again, you know, they keep selling us down the river. I mean, look at your Ben Carson. Ben Carson's going to sit up there and say, man, on public airwaves, you know, a couple of years back, that the slaves that were brought here were African immigrants looking for the American dream. I mean, come on, people, that is like saying put water in your gas tank, you know, to make your car function. That's like saying put gas inside of an electric engine to make it function. And, of course, you know, once heat hits gasoline, you know, it blows up. You see, that's just how asinine, you know, that was. You see, so therefore, ladies and gentlemen, you know, we're reaching out there to our listeners, you know, to please call in tonight. And our phone number to call in is 516-418-5996. Press 1 and you'll speak live on the air. And then on top of it as well, too, please go to our like page of Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. Leave us a comment. Leave us a comment of what subjects you would like for us to cover. And definitely check out Frontline Black News for all the crews, okay? They're on StreamYard every Saturday night. Definitely check out the Revolutionary Agenda hosted by Lady Che. And most definitely, you know, to check us out, you know, when we have the one and only Anchorman, you know, with us. Okay, so on that, ladies and gentlemen, is that we're going to take a brief intermission right here. And please give us a call here. We're going to leave you with some music here. And I think we're going to play a classic here by Miles Davis, you know, for our intermission, Milestones. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that there is the one and only Mr. Miles Davis with Milestones right there. And you're listening to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced tonight. We're coming to you from Las Vegas, Nevada. And tonight's subject is what should be our agenda for 2023. We are reaching out to those concerned individuals who are interested in putting together positive projects for our advancement as people. We need businesses and industries that will give ourselves full employment, empowerment, and economical independence. It has been proven time and time again that integration does not work. We tried it, and we still get kicked in the ass time and time again. The black sellout politicians sell us down the toilet every election cycle. What can we as a people do about this? Please call in with your comments, questions, and concerns at 516-418-5996. This episode is for those 18 years of age and over. Okay. When we look at other people here who came to the United States and made prosperous livings for themselves under the concept of free enterprise and whatnot, you know, their communities have flourished, but it has always pretty much been at our expenses, where they have set up, you know, major businesses in our communities, such as department stores, auto repair shops, and what have you. So we constantly spend our money out of the community as opposed to recirculating the money within the community. It's because, you know, you have some groups, you know, they recirculate their money, you know, 10, 20 times before it leaves the community. With us, you know, it leaves the community in less than an hour that then when we get it, you see. And then, too, when we sit up here and talk about doing things for ourselves, then all of a sudden, you see what I mean? You know, we're called anti-this. We're called anti-that. We're called anti, you know, all kind of things. But then when we have, when we look at the judicial system, and how we are treated, you see, and we ain't got to mention, you know, the names. We all know the names, you know, from Breonna Taylor, you know, to Rodney King, Sandra Bland. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Mike Brown. And then there's a lot of these cases that don't even come up in courts, you know, prosecuting these individuals, you know, when the quote-unquote suspect was unarmed once he did this. But at least with the Derek Chauvin and then the George Floyd travesty, you know, at least these incarcerated, you know, is being held accountable, you know, for his actions of what he did, you know, to a small degree. Although me personally, I think, you know, he should have got life without no parole, but however that there is just my opinion. Then this business with the no-knock search warrant that happened in the case with Ms. Breonna Taylor in Louisville, Kentucky. This should be coming up with ways to prevent a no-knock warrant being served, okay? And then, you know, Ms. Taylor, you know, was killed in her premises. But here's something that's very interesting. Donald Trump, okay, he says he wants to be president in 2024, okay? And from what I understand, you know, there's a series of investigations going on with him. Also, too, the U.S. Congress, you know, is trying to probe more often to his financial affairs, as well as they should. Also, too, they're still looking at this January 6th insurrection attempt, January 6th, 2021. You know, what's going on with that? So, you know, what happened, folks, you know, to us, you know, in the last 16 years? You know, what happened to us, you know, when President Obama was in office? You know, why wasn't, you know, our agenda prioritized, you see? It's because, you know, every other group, you know, they go up there and produce for themselves, send their children to school and whatnot. But it's kind of like the norm here in the United States is that we're supposed to go out here and enhance everybody else. But then we're ostracized when we try to help ourselves. So it's really something there, you know, to think about. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, so once again, please give us a call at 516-418-5996. Please call in with your comments, questions, and concerns. And once again, our staff here is Shabaka Sankarler, your executive producer, co-executive producer is Jay Nkrumah, you know, otherwise known as Jesse Perez, who's running for mayor of Denver, Colorado in 2023. You know, hopefully the great city of Denver, you know, will get this man elected, you know, because his primary concern is dealing with the unhoused neighbors and unhoused individuals and about getting them some type of shelter, particularly this time of the year where Denver, Colorado can go, you know, quite cold, you know, at the altitude of 5280. That's why they refer to it as the Mile High City. And then also, too, we've got to, you know, reemphasize educating ourselves, you see, taking our kids about the public indoctrination centers, because this is where they're learning all this negativity and whatnot, you know, degrading each other. And then also, too, for you gentlemen there, you know, in the rap industry, hey, I appreciate the art of rhythm and poetry, the gentlemen and ladies. Please, you know, make your lyrics positive. That's all I'm asking. And then also, two condolences to the family of Gangsta Boo. From what I understand, she transitioned a couple of days ago at the age of 43. And also, too, most definitely, we got the brother in our prayers there for the Buffalo Bills, who was injured on Monday night last night. And he got up. And he fell back down, and they got him in the hospital, and he's on life support. So who knows what that's all about. And, you know, this is a young man, you see. So if you have any comments on it, you know, please give us a call here at 516-418-5996 as well, too. And also, too, our anchor man is the one and only Mr. Ramel Understanding. You know, and our co-host is the one and only Jesse Paris, you know, who's running for mayor of Denver. Definitely check him out on StreamYard every Saturday night, okay, for Frontline Black News, okay. We're in our second season, and we are looking for contributors, you know, as well, too. And definitely there, want to give a shout out there to all our supporters and those, you know, who are familiar with us. Hope everything is going safe for you here at the beginning of this year, and who knows what this year is going to hold for us. It's because already we're seeing some bad weather patterns here. You know, they're going to be quite devastating. out here in the West, you know, you have massive flooding there in California. Then, of course, up in the Sierra Nevadas of California, you know, they got a great deal of snow falling up there in California. Best not say, you know, that they got a water shortage again. And then also, too, from what I understand out of California, you know, I got an unconfirmed report that Gavin Newsom is going to try to run for president. Okay, that ought to be interesting. And then, of course, you know, that the orange man, you know, had already announced that he's running again in 2024. But the U.S. Congress, you know, has him under a great deal of scrutiny. And those of you in the D.C. area, you're welcome to give us a call as well, too, at 516-418-5996. And then, once again, go to our like page, Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. You know, leave your comments, questions, and concerns about what topics that you would like discussed here for 2023. And basically, you know, what is our agenda or what should be our agenda for 2023? You know, more homeschooling for our youth. You know, get them up out to public indoctrination centers because this is where they learn all this negative material in society. Also, too, for those of you out there in Hollywood and Los Angeles area, you know, in the rap industry, the only thing I'm asking is, you know, because I can't tell y'all what to do, but please try to make the lyrics more positive and more uplifting, you know, and because I definitely, you know, appreciate and respect the art of rhythm and poetry. And it could be quite a motivator, you know, for our people in their formative years as they are coming in, you know, to adulthood and what have you, and do something positive, you know, for our community. And then, too, from what I understand, they're still stealing catalytic converters out in California. So watch where you park your car and what have you. Have your security measures intact and what have you. And so what we're going to do here, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to play some more music right here because we're waiting on Anchorman to come back on us with us quite shortly. And we got The Future by Tupac's auntie. We all know who she is.
Understand the past and I work on it. constantly trying to understand. And I work on trying to understand the future. But I don't want to be here, you know. I want to go on. I want to open up. I want to free up. I want to, you know, let go. I want to stay with me. I want another kind of warrior. I want to be free to love. I don't want nobody, you know, following me down the street trying to rape me or trying to beat me up. Or I don't want, you know, to walk down the street and look at somebody.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to play a past speech by Malcolm X. And as soon as we pull him up right here, this is one of his other speeches that, you know, that he was known for. Okay, and this one here is going to be... I believe the House Negro and the Field Negro.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, to whom all praise is due, whom we forever thank for giving us the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as our leader, teacher, and guide. And I specifically, ladies and gentlemen, and brothers and sisters, open up like that because I am a representative of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And were it not for him, you and I wouldn't be here today. In order for you and me to devise some kind of method or strategy to offset some of the events or a repetition of the events that have taken place here in Los Angeles recently, we have to go to the root. We have to go to the cause. Dealing with the condition itself is not enough. We have to get to the cause of it all, or the root of it all. And it is because of our effort toward getting straight to the root that people oftentimes think we are dealing in hate. But first, I would like to congratulate and give praise to the Negro, so-called Negro leaders and so-called Negro organizations. And excuse me if I say so-called, it's hard for me to just outright say Negro when I know what that word Negro really means. The person whom you have come to know as Ronald Stokes, we know him as Brother Ronald, one of the most religious persons who displayed the highest form of morals of any black person anywhere on this earth. And as one of the previous speakers pointed out who knew him, everyone who knew him had to give him credit for being a good man, a clean man, an intelligent man, and an innocent man when he was murdered. The Negro, so-called Negro organizations and leaders should be given great credit for their failure or refusal to let the white man divide them and use them one against the other during this crisis. As Reverend Welford Wilson pointed out, I think it was 8 years ago today that the Supreme Court handed down the desegregation decision. And despite the fact that 8 years have gone past, that decision hasn't been implemented yet. I don't have that much faith. I don't have that much confidence. I don't have that much patience. and I don't have that much ignorance to... If the Supreme Court, which is the highest law-making body in the country, can pass a decision that can't get even 8% compliance with in 8 years because it's for black people, then my patience has run out. When black people who are being oppressed become impatient, they say that's emotional. Please, when black people who are being deprived of their citizenship, not only of their civil rights, but their human rights, become impatient, become fed up, don't want to wait any longer, then they say that's emotional. The Negro, so-called Negro leaders and organizations should be praised. They should be congratulated. They should be complimented. Because out of all of them combined, the white man has not yet found one who will play the role of Uncle Tom. But yet, he has found no Tom, no puppet, no parrot who is still dumb enough in 1962 to represent the injustices that he's inflicting against our people. We don't care what your religion is. We don't care what organization you belong to. We don't care how far in school you went or didn't go. We don't care what kind of job you have. We have to give you credit for shocking the white man by not letting him divide you and use you one against the other. In the past, the greatest weapon the white man has had has been his ability to divide and conquer. As Jackie Robinson pointed out beautifully on the television last night, 4/5 of the world isn't white. Isn't that what Jackie said? And if 4/5 of the world is dark, how is it possible for 1/5 to rule, oppress, exploit, dominate, and brutalize the 4/5 who are in the majority? How do they do it? Divide and conquer. If I take my hand and slap you, you don't even feel it. It might sting you because these digits are separated. But all I have to do to put you back in your place is bring those digits together. This is what the white man has done to you and me. He has divided us and used us one against the other. But today, thanks to Allah, you can say thanks to God or thanks to Jesus or thanks to Jehovah, whatever you want. But as a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we have been taught to say thanks to Allah. And that's what Jesus said. Jesus called on Allah. He said, Allah, Allah, lama asabakhtani. I believe what's good for Jesus is good for you. If Allah was good enough for Jesus to call upon, I think he should be good enough for you to call upon. Since the so-called Negro community has shocked the white man by resisting all efforts to divide us, I think that you and I should continue to shock him by staying and working together in unity. Despite religious, political, economic, or educational, or social differences, let us remember that we are not brutalized because we're Baptist. We're not brutalized because we're Methodist. We're not brutalized because we're Muslims. We're not brutalized because we're Catholic. We're brutalized because we are black people in America. Here, your mother is being raped and you're not supposed to be emotional. Your women, please, your women can't walk the street without some cracker putting his hands on her, and you're not supposed to be emotional. If you say that you're fed up, if you teach the Negro, people don't even know their own name. Why? Because he took it away from them. Please, please. 20 million black people don't even know their own language. Why? Because he took it away from them. 20 million black people who don't even know the history of their ancestors. Why? Because he took it away from them. And if you try and tell them how thoroughly and completely they've been robbed, he says you're teaching hate. That's something to think about. Today, you are coming out of college. You're coming out of the leading universities. You're trying to go in a good direction, but you don't know which direction to go in. And if somebody tries to take you right to the root of your problem, they say that that man's a hate teacher. If I ask why should the senators in Washington, and then again, if we tell you that Negroes are being hung on the tree or being shot down illegally, unjustly, and those Negroes should do something to protect themselves, you say you're advocating violence. The white man is tricking you. He's trapping you. He doesn't call it violence when he lands troops in South Vietnam. Honey, please, please, please. He doesn't call it violence when he lands troops in Berlin. When the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, he didn't say get nonviolent. He said, praise the Lord, but pass the ammunition. But when someone attacks you, when someone comes at you with a club, when someone comes at you with a rope, when someone comes at you with a gun, despite the fact that you've done nothing, he tells you, suffer peacefully. Pray for those who use you despitefully. Be long-suffering. And how long can you suffer after suffering for 400 years? So I just want to clear up that little point right there, because he says that we play on your emotions. And when you turn on your television tonight, or your radio, or read the newspaper, they're going to tell you in that paper that I was playing on your emotions. Imagine you, a second-class citizen. That's not getting emotional, it's getting intelligent. And as far as your mayor is concerned, I see should say their mayor, a man named Yorty, who has been slandering the Muslims, a professional liar, a professional liar. Who has mastered the art of using half-truths. Put it in the paper that they broke into our religious place of worship and got records that they can use to prove that most of us have criminal records. You can't be a Negro in America and not have a criminal record. Martin Luther King has been to jail. Please. James Farmer has been to jail. Why, you can't name a black man in this country who is sick and tired of the hell that he's catching who hasn't been to jail. Charged him with being seditious. They put Moses in jail. They put Daniel in jail. Why, you haven't got a man of God in the Bible that wasn't put to jail when they started speaking out against exploitation and oppression. They charged
Jesus with sedition. Didn't they do that? They said he was against Caesar. They said he was discriminating because he told his disciples, go not the way of the Gentiles, but rather go to the lost sheep. He discriminated. Don't go near the Gentiles. Go to the lost sheep. Go to the oppressed. Go to the downtrodden. Go to the exploited. Go to the people who don't know who they are, who are lost from the knowledge of themselves, and who are strangers in a land that is not theirs. Go to those people. Go to the slaves. Go to the second-class citizens. Go to the ones who are suffering the brunt of Caesar's brutality. And if Jesus were here in America today, he wouldn't be going to the white man. The white man is the oppressor. He would be going to the oppressed. He would be going to the humble. He would be going to the lowly. He would be going to the rejected and the despised. He would be going to the so-called American Negro. To have once been a criminal is no disgrace. To remain a criminal is the disgrace. I formerly was a criminal. I formerly was in prison. I'm not ashamed of that. You never can use that over my head. And that he's using the wrong stick. I don't feel that stick. I went to prison because I believed in men like Sam Yorty. I went to prison because I trusted men like Sam Yorty. I went to prison following the philosophy of men like Sam Yorty. But since I've been following the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I have been reformed, and that's more, please. That's more than Sam Yorty and Chief Parker and all these other white politicians have been able to do with the inmates in the prisons of this state. They should give Mr. Muhammad credit. They should give Mr. Muhammad credit for reforming and rehabilitating men whom they have failed to reform and rehabilitate. Mayor Yorty referred to some press report that Mr. Muhammad had once been found guilty of contributing to the delinquency of a minor. He failed to explain purposely that in 1934, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad refused to send his children to the white schools in Detroit, Michigan that were teaching you about little black Sambo. That's the minor that he contributed to the delinquency of. You see, this vicious, fork-tongued white man has been able to take lies and make you turn against those who want to help you and make others turn against you. This is the contributing to the delinquency of a minor that this mayor, or a man who calls himself mayor, is talking about. In the same article, he said that the Muslims are the same people who rioted in the United Nations. Someone should pull his coat and let him know that at the present moment, there are $6 million worth of suits leveled against two of New York's leading newspapers for making the mistake of charging the Muslims as being involved in those United Nations riots. We were not involved. And if this fork-tongued man who calls himself your mayor had taken the time to find that out, he wouldn't be walking into the trap that he's letting his ignorance lead him into. And if he would take the time to read the Washington Post that came out the Sunday after that incident took place, the Washington Post pointed out on the front page that the Muslims had nothing to do with the UN riots. And they quoted, in saying so, the person who was at that time the commissioner of police in New York City. See, it's lies that the white man has spread about the Muslims to try and make you afraid of the Muslims, or to try and make you think that the Muslims were a criminal element, an uncouth element, and things that you would not like to be associated with. Also, they say that they, I'm just clearing these things up and then we're going to get into what happened. They also say that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was a draft dodger. No, he wasn't. He just refused to go to the army because he was a man of peace. He was a minister of a religion of peace. He was teaching peace. So he outright refused to go to the army. That's not draft dodging. That's intelligence. Appear before the grand jury. Because the coroner's jury is stacked against Negroes. The grand jury is stacked against Negroes. The press, the radio, the television, and the newspapers are stacked against Negroes. But we, the Los Angeles Police Department is stacked against Negroes. He is stacked against all Negroes. All except those whom he has appointed to high positions. The controlled press, the white press, inflames the white public against Negroes. The police are able to use it to paint the Negro community as a criminal element.
Okay.
The police are able to use the press to make the white public think that 90% or 99% of the Negroes in the Negro community are criminals. And the white public is convinced that most of the Negro community is a criminal element, then this automatically paves the way for the police to move into the Negro community, exercising Gestapo tactics, stopping any black man who is on the sidewalk, whether he is guilty or whether he is innocent, whether he is well-dressed or whether he is poorly dressed, whether he is educated or whether he is dumb, whether he's a Christian or whether he's a Muslim. As long as he is black and a member of the Negro community, the white public thinks that the white policeman is justified in going in there and trampling on that man's civil rights and on that man's human rights. Once the police have convinced the white public that the so-called Negro community is a criminal element, they can go in and question, brutalize, murder unarmed, innocent Negroes, and the white public is gullible enough to back them up.
Yeah.
This makes the Negro community a police state. This makes the Negro neighborhood a police state. It's the most heavily patrolled. It has more police in it than any other neighborhood. Yet it has more crime in it than any other neighborhood. How can you have more cops and more crime? Why? It shows you that the cops must be in cahoots with the criminals. The texture of the hair that God pleased, that God gave them, so much that they put lie on it. Do you realize now? You know, brother, lie will eat a hole in steel, and you know your head is not that hard. Who taught you, please? Who taught you to hate the texture of your hair? Who taught you to hate the color of your skin to such extent that you bleach to get like the white? Who taught you to hate the shape of your nose and the shape of your lips? Who taught you to hate yourself from the top of your head to the soles of your feet? Who taught you to hate your own kind? Who taught you to hate the race that you belong to? So much so that you don't want to be around each other. No, before you come asking Mr. Muhammad, does he teach hate, you should ask who yourself, who taught you to hate being what God gave you. We teach you to love the hair that God gave you. There you were way out in the middle of the ocean, can't swim, and you worried about someone that's in the bathtub and can't swim. We don't steal, we don't gamble, we don't lie, and we don't cheat. And that also deprives the government of revenue. Because you can't get into a whiskey bottle without getting past the government seal. You can't open a deck of cards without getting past the government seal. There's a white man makes the whiskey and it puts you in jail for getting drunk. He sells you the cards and the dice and puts you in jail when he gets you using them. So he's against us because we fix it where he can't catch you anymore. We take the dice out of your hands and the cards out of your hands and the whiskey out of your head. No. The most disrespected person in America is the black woman. The most unprotected person in America is the black woman. The most neglected person in America is the black woman. And as Muslims, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us to respect our women and to protect our women. And the only time a Muslim really gets real violent is when someone goes to molest his woman. We will kill you for our woman. I'm making it plain, yes. We will kill you for our woman. We believe that if the white man will do whatever is necessary to see that his woman gets respect and protection, then you and I will never be recognized as men until we stand up like men and place the same penalty over the head of anyone who puts his filthy hands out to put in the direction of our women. We respect them, but we want them to respect us. We think that the law should respect the Negro community. The law should protect the Negro community. The law should approach the Negro community with intelligence if it expects the Negro community to react intelligently. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us to always avoid anything that smacks of disrespect for the law. And if the police department tells the truth, they will have to admit that they have never had any experiences with Muslims that have ever been anything other than honorable unless they themselves come at us in a dishonorable way. It has no case against the Muslims. It has no case against these brothers whom they shot down. And because it has no case, it's trying to create a case. It's trying to manufacture a case. And therefore, they set up a grand jury hearing of the case so that they could hear it behind closed doors. And after hearing what we have to say, then build their particular strategy or defense against the actions that they committed on that April the 27th. So at the advice of our attorneys, we purposely, the victims, those who have been indicted, or rather those who have been arrested and are out on bond, have purposely refrained and refused from making any statement whatsoever until after the case appears in court. And when you hear their story, it will be in a public trial. We have already had experience with these private hearings behind closed doors. Anything that the white man has to do to the Muslim, he has to do it in the open. He has to do it in...
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. This here concludes our episode here for January 3rd, 2023. And the title of this episode is What Should Be Our Agenda for 2023. Thank you so very much for tuning in.